The Matrix is here.
The Matrix is here. The political machine that controls our country is being run on artificial intelligence.
The Terminator is real.
And he's hunting down Sarah Connor in Sacramento right now.
And I, Robot, have been so programmed to believe the flag was always within my reach, I never actually reached out. Now that I have,
it's nothing but a hologram.
It's fake.
All of it. But at least I'm safe.
Like a Photoshop picture of America's head on Iraq's body. Our life has been digitally altered.
Our liberties have been so Botoxed up.
I can't even smile during my pursuit of happiness.
But at least I'm safe. Our Constitution has been rewritten by the Wachowski brothers with a foreword by George Orwell, but at least I'm safe.
So, like a kid raised by an agoraphobic mother
and obsessive compulsive father, here I sit.
14 years old, strapped into an infant's car seat.
Wearing a surgeon's mask and a parka.
Living in a sterilized bubble and wondering how the hell I still managed
to get this sick.
As it turns out,
there is a danger to all this protection.
There is a line that has been crossed.
There is a difference
between being safe
and feeling safe. And it is not the ants on counters who never saw the thumb coming down that teach us this lesson, but the ones who do, who we watch scatter, assuming them to think what we would think.
I must get to safety.
And we hover over them knowing they will not make it unless we let them.
We are not different from the ants. We hope to live. We eventually die. And the
time in between
is scattering.
And when we survive,
a plane touches down.
I called in sick that day.
The bullet missed by inches.
And when we survive, we feel suddenly safe and devise a million ways to remain so. We are not safe.
We are spared. And what we feel as safety is merely the time in between risk. So if we cannot be safe, but only more safe, then the question becomes,
what is more important? Being alive
or the quality of life we live?
Because you could strap us all naked in our seats, wearing metal shackles and chin restraints, refuse to let us talk till we were safely on the ground.
You could institute a curfew and ban cigarette lighters and baseball bats, outlaw hoses and neckties,
and authorize crossing guards
to carry handguns.
You could interrogate all foreign-born American citizens who couldn't quote approve scripture on command. If you write with your left hand.
Look like you might be a skeptic.
Or could spell the word conspiracy.
You may be subjected to a short stint in prison without the benefit of counsel. You can gain access to all email.
Listen openly
to my phone calls.
Read my correspondence at will.
All it will tell you
is what I will tell you right now.
The bad guys have given up,
maniacally rubbing their palms
and fiendishly twirling their mustaches,
and have cleverly disguised themselves
to look like our friends and loved ones.
And only hindsight can see them coming every time.
But just in case, I let you listen to my phone calls because you promised it was for my own good.
And when the terrorist got an AOL account,
I offered up my Hotmail.
But then the terrorist started to talk in public places,
which led to a ban against conversing in public. But then the terrorist knew how to talk in private.
So you learned to search homes without cause,
to discard the Constitution and rewrite laws, which
you promised
would protect me.
And I would tell you that I don't feel protected, except my uncle whispered it once into a randomly tapped phone. So you
came into his home and took him away for questioning.
And I haven't seen him since.
And I've never seen a terrorist, so maybe our methods have worked.
Except I'm no longer afraid of the terrorists. I'm afraid of the people listening to my phone calls and breaking into my home and removing my rights and keeping me safe. I need protection from my protector.
I'm on guard against my guardian.
I am afraid of you because Nazi Germany. Because Nazi Germany was safe if you weren't a Jew.
Mississippi was the safest place on earth to be white.
Native Americans did not want to be caught safe in Wyoming.
Americans of Japanese descent were the only ones not to call California safe in the 40s.
And who knew Muslim American New Yorkers would want to stay safely indoors those long weeks of September?
See, safety
is a bigot. Fear is an equal opportunity terrorist. And I... I am making friends with an elephant in the room
so I may run up on its back and ride it down the streets of our capital so the world can see. My country was shot between the towers, went to the ER in critical condition, and soon it will be dead.
And we keep fighting for its life, blind to the fact that we are stepping on the feeding tube and blocking the IV. And it was their act that put her in the hospital, but ours that will finish her off.
The destruction could have been the ashes from which the phoenix rose.
Instead, it was the sword that slew the phoenix, and the blood is on our hands.
They could never destroy our land, but they got lucky.
They found someone willing to destroy it for them. Us. And this
is what they want. Not to kill Americans, but to kill America.
Not to assassinate justice, but to turn her
blindfold into a gag and force her to watch what will happen if she cannot speak, and then to sit back, thumbs out, laughing while we scatter like ants, imprison ourselves in sterilized bubbles, and wonder how the hell we still manage to get this sick.
There is a danger to all this protection.
There is a line that has been crossed.
Safety will always come at a cost. And it is up to those ACL few riding on the backs of elephants to shout at the top of their lungs when the cost is too high.
When it is attained without due process, without privacy.
When it is gained without judicial restraint or governmental oversight.
When it is maintained without the balances that keep us in check.
Without freedom of press, of religion, of speech.
Then we are not safe.
We are not free.
We are not America.
And that's is too great a cost.